you can remember, last time I spoke on a Sunday night, started a new series, The Rise and Fall of King Saul. And last time we didn't actually look at King Saul at all. We looked at what brought about Saul becoming king. In that the Israelites were quite concerned at Samuel's sons and how they were living and the prospect of them becoming the priests and having to judge. And they went to Samuel and said, "We have a problem we need you to solve, and we need you to get us a king like everybody else." And so that's basically what we looked at last time, and we're going to follow on from that this evening. And so let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have the record of the life of this man, Saul. And Lord, we thank you that we're able to learn from it. I pray that, Lord, we will see the good and the bad. And Lord, we will see how you act towards us, depending on how we react. And I pray that, Lord, we will learn to choose those wise things in our life. And I do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably the scariest thing that we are going to learn from Saul is that you can start off very well, but it doesn't mean that you're going to end well. And I know I have seen many wonderful young people love the Lord, have a passion to serve Him and obey Him in their life, only to see them go into adulthood and they completely change. I still think of some, and I think of them with disbelief that they could change so much. It seemed impossible that some young people would ever fall away from the Lord, yet it's a reality today. It happens. And I think that's one of the most discouraging and probably one of the most confusing things about the Christian life. Seeing people so keen for the things of God to fall away to the point where you would even wonder if they've ever heard about God or been to church. Yet when you look at the early days of Saul, you discover that this type of thing has been going on for centuries. And sadly, it'll continue. And so if you're young here today, or tonight, don't think for one moment that you're going to be an adult who loves the Lord. All right? It's going to take a lot of daily decisions. You could easily fall away. In fact, regardless of what age you are, don't think what we see here in the life of Saul can't happen to you, because it can happen to all of us. But what we're going to discover this evening is, when we look at Saul, there is one thing we can be sure of, and that is God didn't pick a dud to be the king. When the elders came and asked Samuel to give them a king, even though the Lord warned them that this was a very bad idea, He didn't decide to pick a failure to ensure that they regretted their decision. He didn't look out amongst all the children of Israel and think, "Now where is someone that is just going to make a mess of everything and I'll choose him to be king?" No, He gave them the best one on offer. I personally believe that God always intended to give them a king. And He was waiting for David, His choice, to be raised up. And at the right time, He was going to bring him to that point where he could be made king and he could fulfill all the promises that He made of the Messiah and Savior through the seed of David. I have no doubt that's what God had planned. But Israel didn't want to wait on the Lord. They saw there was a real problem with Samuel's children. And so instead of going to God and saying, "God, we have a problem here. What do you want us to do?" And I suspect He would have said, "Wait, I'm going to raise up just the right man for you." But they didn't do that. They just said, "We want you to provide someone." And so they needed the problem solved, not willing to wait. They wanted it done now. And so David wasn't ready. He wasn't old enough. He wasn't prepared to take on that position. And so God gave them the best that he had on offer at the time. And tonight I want to show you the character of Saul and what you're going to discover if you can see things the way that I see it is that he was a lovely young man. He was a young man that any parent would be proud to call their son. In fact, he'd be the type of young man that most would look at and say, now that guy is a godly man. He's going to make a good king if he ever became a king. And I suspect if he stayed the same as he was when he was young, he would have made a good king. And so turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9. This is where we're introduced to Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1, we read this. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechoroth, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul. And so we get to Saul. And then we are told a little bit about him. A choice young man and goodly. Now, that doesn't tell us a lot. You know, you say, what is Saul like? He's a choice young man and he's goodly. You know, but when you read the Hebrew and what that is sort of meaning, it's talking about how he came from a fine pedigree. He was handsome. He was strong. And well built. He was what you would call a fine specimen of a man, young and in his prime. And it goes on to say, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any other person. And so what we read here is, if you got all the young men of Israel who were in their prime, and you got them to line up, and you went down that row looking for someone who would fit the perfect description for a king, Saul was the standout. You wouldn't be going, well, I guess there's this guy and Saul and that guy and that guy. Oh, which one will I choose? Saul was a clear pick. When it came to size particularly, and just that demeanor about him, he certainly stood out. He was probably around about a foot taller than everybody else. The scholars say that he was probably around 7 feet tall. So he was a big man, even in our day today. And so when it came to appearance, he outshone everybody. And so in a day when the king was to lead the army out into battle, and he needed to have that mastery on the battlefield, it was important to have a man that was physically looking very good and able to conduct himself on the battlefield. And Saul was certainly this man. He looked good. But what I believe was even more important was what was inside his heart. And when you consider the type of young man Saul was, you discover that he was a fine young man, not just when it comes to his appearance, but also his character. And in chapters 9 and 10, we see what this young man was like and how he was an impressive young man. I want to highlight some of the things that we learn about Saul as a young man. The first thing I want us to notice is that he was an obedient son. Have a look at chapter 9, verse 3. It says, "And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go and seek the asses." And so we have a rather familiar picture for anyone who owns a bit of livestock of some sort. The livestock has gone missing. I'm pretty sure in those days they didn't have fences either, so they would have gone missing a lot more. And like always, the grass always seems greener on the other side. And this happened here as well. The asses of Kish went missing. And so we had a problem that has been a problem for thousands of years since then. Stock going missing. And so what does Kish do? Well, the obvious thing is you get your son and say, son, stock's lost, can you go find them? As you do when you have a nice, strong son. And it may be a very simple thing, but certainly I believe it's important to notice that there is no evidence here that there was grumbling or complaining or any disobedience. He simply just went and did what his father had asked him to do. But I think we see the obedience of Saul unfold as we go on. It says in verse 4, "And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not then. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not." Now, from what I can gather, Saul has travelled over 30 kilometres by now. And so he's really looking for these asses that have gone missing. He didn't just go down a kilometre or so. No, can't find him anywhere, and he's on his way back. No, he continued to do what his father had asked him to do, and that is to go find them. And this young man wanted to find the stock that had gone missing, and he knew the importance that it was to his father. And God's word doesn't give us the details of what he said along the way. If he was angry, if he was frustrated and annoyed that he had to be the one, but he continued to do what his father wanted him to do. But when God's word does reveal to us what he said, I think it gives us an insight to the type of young man he was. Because have a look at verse 5. "And when they were come to the land of Zaph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, 'Come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us.'" Now I think that's pretty special. He's looking, can't find, and then he starts to worry about his father. There's a buzz going through here, Phil. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you want to turn the thing down. He starts thinking about his father. And,
oh, is that the fridge? That is a very loud fridge, eh?
Okay. Starts worrying about his father instead. And so, although he's been wandering around for about 3 days now, can't find the asses. Instead of being upset with what he has to go through, he's worried that his father may be worried. Now, he can't send him off a text message and say, "Look, I'm okay, I'm just still looking for the asses, but don't worry, I'm okay." No, he couldn't do that. But we see here he was concerned. I also see that parents were still worried about their children, even young adults, way back then. And so if you're a young person and your parents worry about where you are and you haven't got home yet and they're worried that something terrible has happened to you, this has been happening for centuries. All right? And so understand that's a natural thing for a parent to worry when they haven't heard from you. So contact them. Okay? Even Saul was worried for his father, to the point where he says, "I think we need to go home, because I don't want Dad to worry. That's worse than losing the asses." But Saul's servant had a suggestion. There was one thing that they could try before they go back, and that is try help from above. It says there in verse 6, "And he said unto him, 'Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honourable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go hither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go.'" That was the words of the servant. And in verse 10 it says, "Then said Saul to his servant, 'Well said, come, let us go.' So they went unto the city where the man of God was." So this was their last chance to find the asses. Now if we go down to verse 15, we read this. "Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, 'Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me.'" And so what we discover here is Paul didn't realize that this was actually a divine appointment. God had worded Samuel up that the young man that he has chosen to be king would come around about this time the following day. And what we see here is the sovereignty of God at work. It's good to take note of this. It's a good lesson how God can use everyday things, even problems, and things that normally wouldn't happen, because he wants to get us to a particular place so he could use us or help us in some way. As we've just read, the asses went missing. Why? Well, we don't know how, but we certainly know why now. God was going to use that to get Saul to a particular place. He looked all over the place. He was very diligent in looking, yet he couldn't find them. Why? Because God wanted him to just get to that point where the servant made a suggestion. And then the servant makes this random suggestion. Why don't we go and ask the man of God in that city over there? Now, why did he think that up? We don't know. Was it prompted by God? I suspect it was. But God wanted to get them to meet Samuel so Samuel could anoint Saul. And so, see how God can use everyday things that we would seem rather random to fulfill God's purpose. Now, I wonder when things go missing, when you can't find something or something doesn't happen the way it should, or something breaks down. Have you ever stopped to think that God is trying to get you somewhere? Or he's trying to use this so he could use you or even help you? I was actually, because I knew I was preaching on this, Friday, dogs went missing. And I'm driving around everywhere and I'm thinking, oh, so God, are you trying to get me somewhere or not? But I didn't see anyone. I can't think of any reason why the dogs went missing other than they just went missing because I left the gate open. But and that's where we need to realize we don't get superstitious as well and think that everything is ordained by God for a serious or particular purpose. But it would be good for us when things happen out of the ordinary not to dismiss it and say, God, have you got a reason for this? And it was certainly there in the life of Saul. And so we see here that he was obedient and he was also concerned for his father. Two nice things to find in a son. He was also respectful. They went to the city. In verse 17 we read this. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, Behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And so Saul had no idea that he was actually speaking to Samuel the prophet, but he spoke to him with respect. And he got a very nice surprise in the process, because in verse 19 we read, And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today and tomorrow, and I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found, and on whom is all the desire of Israel, is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? And so Saul certainly got more than he was bargaining for here when he asked this random man. He didn't know he was the prophet, but Samuel told him that the asses had been found, so that was a relief to him. But he also said, I want you to have a meal with me today and tomorrow. And so he got an invitation. And I love how Saul responded. We see the humility of this young man. Verse 21, And Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? Am I family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? You know, here is a huge young man who would have towered over this prophet. I suspect because of his physique, a lot of people looked up to him, yet he didn't consider himself to be of any importance. He said to Samuel, "Don't you realize I'm a Benjamite? We're the smallest of all the nations of Israel, tribes of Israel. Don't you know that my family is one of the least within the Benjamites as well? And so why on earth would you want to talk to me? Why would you want to spend time with me and eat with me?" And we see here the humbleness of Saul. If he had kept this attitude all throughout his life, I suspect he would have had a very different end to what he had. He was very small in his own eyes at the beginning, we read later, but he wasn't as he grew. As he grew older, we know that he got very proud and he considered himself to be very important. In fact, so important that he wanted to stay important. And if anyone was going to take that importance away from him, he got to the point where he was willing to kill them for it. A very different man to what he was when he was young. And so, he certainly started very well. He was young and humble and respectful. And we read in verse 22, "And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them to sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. Verse 25, "And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house." And so he allowed him to come to his house. And in verse 26, "And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, 'Up, that I may send thee away.' And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, 'Bid the servant pass on by us.' And he passed on, 'But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God.'" And then if we go into chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?'" And so after these long day, night, and another day in the morning, we see that Saul finally discovers why Samuel was paying him so much attention. Because he was God's choice to be captain over God's inheritance. He was to be king. And so he is anointed to be king by God's prophet. And I'm guessing Saul's head was spinning at this point. I'm guessing he had some serious doubts. You know, as he walked away from Samuel after the last day and a half, did that just happen? I was just looking for some asses. And I find myself here in this city. I meet Samuel. He invites me to the dinner and I stay there. And now he anoints me and I'm going to be king? You know, if he was anything like me, I'd be walking away thinking, what was that? I wonder if that was just all coincidence or not. You know, did he get the wrong bloke? Well, what I love here is, just in case he did have any doubts, Samuel gives him some prophecies to confirm to him that he was truly God's choice, so that by the end of the day, he would have no doubt. And if you want to do a bit of a doctrine on prophets of God, what you'll discover is, so that they can prove to be a true prophet of God, what will happen is they will give a short-term prophecy so that people can see that they are truly of God. And then that's why you can believe their long-term prophecies. And if you want to do a study, do that about the prophets of God, how they do short-term and long-term prophecies. And this is what he did with Saul. Have a look at the short-term prophecies. Boy, to get all this right, it has to be of God. Have a look, first of all, in verse 2. He says, this is what Samuel says, "When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzar. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son?" And so that's the first thing. He's going to meet these people and they're going to say this to him. I'm sure it blew his mind when he met these guys and they said this. Verse 3, "Then thou shalt go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they shall salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands." Now there's a lot there to get right. Imagine when he saw it. Three guys, toot, 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 they're all carrying it, and they give me this. Whoa. Verse 5, "And that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy." And then he says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man." And so these are all the things that he could be expecting to see happen. And we read on, "And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. So if he had any doubts, I'm sure they were all gone. God was going to do something. Now you think about that. You've just had that all happen, and you've just seen all these things unfolding. You're going to become king. What do you think you'd want to do? You'd want to tell someone, wouldn't you? Like, if you were a proud person, boy, you'd be telling everyone, "Do you know, I'm going to become king," so on, everyone. Even if you weren't proud, you'd want to tell somebody. And here we see, though, Saul isn't boastful. Because have a look when he meets his uncle that day, after all this has happened. Verse 15, "And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you." Verse 16, "And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not." Was he boasting? He wasn't boastful. He just kept that to himself. And then we see here that he certainly wasn't, he was certainly unassuming. We see this from when Samuel introduces the people to God's choice. And I think this is special. You know, he gets the people together, says, "I'm going to show you who God has chosen to be king over Israel." And they're all with expectation. It says in chapter 10, verse 17, "And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah. And he said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversaries and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Now, Saul's not there with his chest out, pumped out, saying, "Hey, I know who he's going to pick you." You know, making sure everyone... They couldn't find him. Verse 22, "Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, 'Behold, he hath hid himself amongst the stuff.'" All right, he's hiding. "I'm out of here. All right, I don't want to be a part of all this. This is scary." "And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upwards. And Samuel said to all the people, 'See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, and there is none like him among all the people.' And all the people shouted and said, 'God save the king.' Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house." And then get this, verse 26. "And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." So after all this fanfare, what does Saul do? He goes home. I don't know if his father was there that day or his father was just home. I'm just picturing it. "Hey, Saul, how you going? Good. Anything exciting happened today?" Yeah, I was made king. "Ah, that's nice. Can you go feed the animals?" "Yeah, sure." And off he goes. I can say that because when we'll see next week that when there was trouble, Saul came from the field from feeding the animals. He was just presented before everyone as king. If he had a proud heart, he would have been, "Well, let's get cracking. I need a big palace. I need to look good here." Instead, he goes home and just continues to feed the animals. He certainly was unassuming and he didn't seek greatness. And so, was he the best man, young man, that God could choose at that time? My word, he was. Not just because he looked great. He had a very good heart. He obeyed his father. He was concerned for his father. He was polite to others. He was humble. He was unassuming. He didn't boast. So the question must be asked, what on earth went wrong? Well, we'll see how the cracks began to appear as the weeks unfold. But what we do see here is it doesn't matter how good a start you have. Things can quickly unravel if you don't continue to seek the Lord every day of your life. And so let that be a lesson to the young here, and also a lesson for us who are older. Unless you're on your deathbed and you're going to die tomorrow, any of us can fall away from the Lord. It can happen that quickly. And so please, let's make sure we don't end up the same as Saul, as sad as that is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you have promised to give us the grace to live that life that you have called us to do every day. Your mercies are new every day. And we can come and we can receive forgiveness. Every morning we can receive the grace we need to face whatever you call us to face. And Lord, at the end of the day when we failed you, you will show that mercy again. I pray that we would all be humble and come before you and repent of our sins daily. And turn to you. And Father, not allow our hearts to grow cold and hard like Saul did. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.